Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Steph, and this is the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast. And today's intro is coming to you from, again, inside a cupboard. I'm at a school, there's netball going on, we've got a weekend of ferrying about with rugby and football and kids' parties and generally moving children from one place to another. I did wake up for a moment this morning and think, oh, it's not really a weekend, is it? But then I remembered it's not very long ago, we were all at home in lockdown, longing for a bit more life. So here we go. This is the life I've chosen, so I can't really complain, but it's just finding a bit of balance. So today is definitely going to involve a nap, just to keep that balance in this rush hour that we find ourselves in. The other thing that is happening, I'm noticing in this rush hour time, is more and more people that I care about are going through breakups and divorce. And this week's guest is comedian, actress and author Samantha Baines. Sam started the podcast The Divorce Social about 18 months after breaking up with her husband. And there's now over 70 episodes with her talking to different guests each week about their breakup and divorce. And whether you're happily married or just married or not married at all, there's loads of lessons about relationships in there. People talk about things that they did wrong, things they wish they'd done, how they wish they'd done it differently, or just how happy they are now that they have moved on, as well as how hard some of it was. And some of what Sam talks about today, as well as all that, is how you can help a friend who's going through a breakup, and some of her thoughts on what doesn't help. And I think it's not that long ago that divorce was kind of steeped in shame and hushed tones. Like when I was a kid, I don't remember that many people being divorced, or if they were, no one spoke about it. And maybe it's still like that for some people. And so what Sam's doing is pretty incredible. And if you look at the comments on her podcast, which I mentioned to her, there's just loads of people saying what a lifeline the podcast has been, because they have felt really isolated. So I think it's one of those things that, like lots of things, the kind of rug has been pulled over, lifted up, and we're realizing that it shouldn't be steeped in shame, because otherwise that's a lot of people feeling really rubbish about themselves unnecessarily. So we talk about all of that. And I wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored by the sexual happiness company Love Honey. They are the UK's most popular online shop for buying adult toys and lingerie discreetly. And we have recently launched the breakup package at Don't Buy Her Flowers. And one of the options you can include in the package is a Boost Bullet Gold vibrator. So there you go. Thank you to Love Honey for the support. And I hope that you enjoy this episode, and that you get something out of it. And let me know if you do on podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com, or drop me a DM on Instagram, or however you want to contact me. But here you go. Sit back, or pick up your pace on your walk, or whatever it is you're doing. Open up your ears and listen to the joyful Sam Baines. I was thinking, so I saw you in the summer at Helen Thorne's Get Divorced, Be Happy book launch.
Yeah.
But you said, you were like, you need to do a breakup package. You need to do a divorce package. And we've only gone and done it.
Yay.
Well, because you said, no, there isn't anything for divorce people. Like if you go and search, there's nothing as a gift for people who are going through divorce and breakups.
No. And also, I think loads of people don't know what to do when a friend like has a big breakup or a divorce. And lots of people just do like the pity face. And actually, that's not very useful. So I'd rather a gift.
Yeah.
And then flowers feel a bit like, I mean, it's the whole thing of your thing, which I love.
Yeah.
But yeah, flowers feel a bit like someone's died. And even when someone has died, like when my dad died, I just got loads of flowers and I was like, well, what do I do with all of these? So I think we're getting into celebrating divorce now and breakup and like, you know, seeing it as a like new chapter thing. And it's really brave to break something up that's been going on for a long time and that you're unhappy in. And so it should be a bit of a celebration. So I think having like a lovely little gift that you can send someone to be like, yay, go you, that is like comforting but also celebratory is wonderful. Well, so I'm glad I forced you into it.
Yeah, you did. And also we then spoke with Love Honey and you can add a bullet vibrator to the package should you want. They're sponsoring this episode, so there you go. So you're giving, Sam, you're giving in lots of
giving
ways.
Giving orgasms to the divorce and breakup world. And I'm very pleased to be able to do that.
Good.
Yeah, I think it was so important. I think we even chatted about it and I was like, you have to include a vibrator.
Because, you
know, it's all about having sex with yourself after you have a breakup.
Well, and like your whole, so your podcast, The Divorce Social, you started it in April 2020. So there was quite a lot going on at that point in the world, because obviously were you planning to do it anyway? Or was it, shit, there's a pandemic and you're a comedian and actress, so your work would have been difficult?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a long time and sort of basically quite selfishly, I was like, I got divorced and no one I knew was divorced. And I wanted to talk to other people about it, but I didn't have access to them. So quite selfishly, I wanted to do a podcast just as an excuse to make people talk to me about their breakups and divorce.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it for a while and I thought, oh, I don't know if anyone would be interested in like listening to that or want to do it. And I was doing Magic Mike at the time. And then obviously lockdown happened and I wasn't doing that anymore. So I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go, see what happens. And turns out people do want to listen to that.
Well, I don't know if you religiously check the comments on your podcast, like the reviews, but there's loads just saying, I really needed this. And exactly that, I don't have anyone around me who's talking about this and I feel really isolated. So what may have started as quite a selfish thing has actually become something that people kind of was really helping people and they're reliant on, which is pretty cool.
That's what makes me keep going, I think, is all the comments and like the, you know, Instagram DMs and emails that I get from people kind of sharing their stories. And obviously I'm not a sort of counselor or coach in any way. I'm just a normal actressy comedian lady. I'm not offering anyone the tips or how you do anything, but just people kind of sharing their story and saying thank you to me and to my guests for sharing their stories. And also just hearing how much it helps people is amazing. And yeah, it makes me go, oh, okay, I'll carry on talking to people from my spare room via the internet for a bit longer if it's helping people.
I went back and listened to like the first couple and you'd only been separated for 18 months at that point. And what was your story, your breakup?
So my breakup's a bit like, it's very drama. It's very like actressy, because we'd had a conversation where we were both like not happy. He brought it up and I was very like, no, everything's fine. You know, we'll work through it in that mode of like, no, I can take care of this. I can take care of you. Everything's going to be fine. And then I was offered Magic Mike. And I was flown to Vegas to watch the show. And then LA to work with Channing Tatum.
We'll come back to that in a minute because he's on my list. So go on.
Well, I've said in the podcast, everyone should have a week with Channing Tatum if they're going through a divorce, because just his presence is very lovely. So that happened. And then I was quite lucky in that I got a week away from my, you know, expenses paid, week away from my then husband. And even though I was working, obviously all that stuff's going on in the back of your mind, like, what's going on with my marriage? But what was lovely is I had a week away working. So I was really being me at work and I didn't have any of those distractions. And I think it really helped me kind of get in touch with me and how I felt about things, instead of just like the fixer of like, no, everything's fine, we'll just keep it going.
That's so interesting that you said, oh, I can fix this, because I feel like that's a very female trait in that situation.
Definitely. And I've spoken to a lot of mums, and that seems to be a, I mean, I don't have any children, but that seems to be a kind of a mum trait as well, of just like, I'll look after everyone and everything will be fine. And actually, when you take a moment to check in with your own feelings, and I had this week of like, you know, no cleaning the house and living in a hotel and just working, to be like, oh, do you know what? I don't think I'm happy either. And then I had a really weird last day in LA where I basically I have a hearing aid and I have one-sided hearing loss. And if I don't wear my hearing aid, I fall over because it affects my balance. So my hearing aid had run out of battery because I hadn't charged it the night before for my last day. But I was like, it's fine, I'm just going to be on a plane. So I was walking around LA like wasting time before I went to the airport. And trying to be all like cool in LA. And I had like an iced coffee and I was like strutting down the street. And then I fell over spectacularly, like, you know, full like starfish on the ground. Like I threw my iced coffee, the top came off and it like splashed all up the street and the ice kind of rolled along the pavement. And it was like, you know, fully on my face. And I really hurt my knee. And it was such a spectacular fall that the pizza shop I'd fallen over outside of like came out to get me and brought me inside and then like gave me some water and was like, oh my God, are you okay? And you know when you're like on the brink of tears because you're like, I've really hurt myself, but I also feel like a child in the playground because I've like fallen over. Well, and
also
knee.
Someone saying, are you okay? Is like, well, that's it, I'm gone. If you're on that verge anyway, if someone's nice to you, that's like the worst.
So I was like, yes, hello, I'm an awkward British person, I'm fine. So I had all that. So then I got to the airport and I was like hobbling around in so much pain and I like trying to get pain medication. So I had this like really traumatic airport experience and I was messaging my then husband telling him all about it. And I assumed that he'd pick me up from the station, from the airport, because he wasn't doing anything that day. I didn't say, can you pick me up? But I just thought, oh, he'll probably be there, you know, to pick up. And then I got, you know, these stories you make up in our head. Even though I haven't said anything to him, he will have mind read and be there to pick me up. And he wasn't there to pick me up at the airport. And then I couldn't get hold of him. And he'd fallen asleep, sure. And then so I got a cab home. And the whole time in the cab, I was like a bit annoyed with him. But I was like, well, I didn't ask him to pick me up. And in my head, I wasn't like, we're going to break up. I was like, I'm looking forward to seeing him because I've had a difficult day. And he opened our front door and I saw him and I just knew it was over. It was so weird. And a bit of me was like, oh, am I just in a bad mood? Like, am I jet lagged? But I went inside and I had a bacon sandwich and a cup of tea. And we sat down and I just said to him, I think I'm not happy either. And I think we should break up. And he agreed. And then we actually had this lovely like conversation where we just said the other person was amazing and cried at each other. And then he packed a bag and left. So that was my amicable breakup. But then as anyone who listens to the divorce social will know, it's very hard to keep it amicable the whole way through. But yeah, all the divorce proceedings get quite intense with all the financials and the house and all of that. But I think it's okay now. We've exchanged some texts This is an exclusive. I haven't talked about this on my podcast yet. I sort of reached out and was like, hi, how are you? Because I'm doing this work on myself with a coach and thinking about compassion and like, I don't want to hold on to any like anger and residual stuff because that's just going to make me unhappy. So I just sort of reached out and say, hey, I hope you're good. Sorry, I haven't spoken to you for ages. And then, you know, he replied and shared some of his news. And so it feels okay now. But yeah, there was definitely a period in the middle.
But how interesting that you, because listening to quite a few of the episodes on your podcast, that theme of realizing you've lost yourself, it is massive, like across loads, especially women, I think, that you speak to, who say that they were trying to make it work so much that they've kind of completely lost what it is that they would want out of a relationship. And that's just this kind of idea of then you've got to, well, I suppose there's the phases of divorce and breakup you talk about quite a bit, and that they're not linear, but there's some quite clear ones that stand out. And that definitely sounds like it's one of them where you have to kind of go, what do I actually want from a relationship? Who am I?
Yeah. And sexually as well. I mean, I talk about my sexual explosion so much on the podcast. I mean, the first two series are literally just me talking about having sex with people, but also interviewing other people. But I think I'd lost, I don't think I'd completely lost myself, but I definitely had like brushed over not feeling happy, and I was like, oh no, this is just what marriage is like. It's just fine, and sometimes it's awful, but most of the time it's fine. So that's, and sometimes it's really nice, so you know. But overall I wasn't happy, but I was just like, oh, this is just life, isn't it? This is how it goes. And then actually it wasn't until someone went and I took a bit of time out that I was like, I'm not happy, and I think I could be happy, and you probably should be happy. Not saying that, you know, obviously you're going to be skipping around every day, like singing Alleluia, my life is a dream world. Although I do that most days at the moment, but no, I don't.
We're in a good phase.
Yeah, in the good phase. But I think on the whole, you should be. Yeah, you're annoyed at them or the washing up or whatever it is, but on the whole you should be happy with your relationship, and I just wasn't. And I think a lot of people that I've spoken to and myself, we've put up with a lot, and I'm not blaming that all on the ex. You know, I've definitely created situations myself and then put up with the situation I've created, and actually taking a step back and being like, no, I'm in charge of my life and I only get one, unless you believe in reincarnation, but I might come back as like a mole. So I need to take steps to make this a happy life. And if that's not where I am right now, then I need to change it. But making that decision is honestly so hard. The amount of messages I get from people who are in that decision-making process right now, and I think they want me to say, no, do it, divorce is great. But you know, I would never say that to someone, because it's completely your decision and your situation, and no one else can tell you when it's time to leave or break up or stay. But yeah, if you know, if anyone's listening and they have done that or they're going through it, it's so brave and courageous to do that. And so well done, just being in the process, like, well done, that's hard enough.
Quite a few of your guests, again, mentioned this feeling of you're changing your whole future and making this decision, because you feel like in getting married, certain things are mapped out, like you've kind of, you can see that ahead of you. And that's the reason why it's such a big deal, because you're kind of going, well, that's all gone now. And you've got to get your head around that. Is that like phase one, would you say?
Well, I think for some people, the reason they want to break up is because it's all mapped out and they don't like the map. And they're like, oh my God, is this what my life is? I don't want this. You know, I don't mean to reference Miranda in and just like that, the new Sex and the City because they get a lot of things wrong. But, you know, she does say, is this it? Is this what my life is? And I do think that phrase, a lot of people will have kind of said to themselves in their heads, like, is this it? Is this my lot? Am I going to stick with this or am I going to make some changes? And that could be in so many different ways with like body positivity and like work. But yeah, I don't think it's the first step is ignoring the future map. I think it comes later because it's like a loss. Even though you've created this idea of the future map and it was never definitely going to happen, you still feel the loss of that future. And you know, maybe you thought you were going to have children together, or maybe you thought you were going to live in a different country, or you know, any of these joint plans you had together. It does feel like you're never going to get that back, but it's important to remember that you're still you. You can still want those things and possibly have those things if you still want them in 10 years. But yeah, it's that kind of all those plans you've been making over however long you've been with that person suddenly disappear.
Yeah, I think we had Dr. Emma Zvanberg, who's a psychologist, on, and she was talking about in the pandemic, this happened as well, where people feel like certain things are certain. There's things in the future that are definitely going to happen. And the pandemic showed us that they're not. And actually there isn't, there's very little certainty, but we in our heads, maybe as a part, it's like to lessen our anxiety or to feel more control, all those things. We put these things in our future to kind of regain that control, which is quite interesting because it's similar in that, you don't know what the future holds.
It's a very human thing, I think. And like even now, like I'm in my mid-30s and I'm dating, and I'll do that thing where you meet someone, then you like imagine how your life could be together and where you'd live and where your wedding would be. And then you're like, hang on, I've met them once for an hour over coffee. But I think it's natural to kind of plan for the future. But I think actually getting divorced has taught me to live more in the now, which is interesting because as a kind of creative person and performer, I would have said to you that I was always good at living in the now. But I think because I've got back to me again, because I've had all this time on my own without the other half there to kind of please or placate or look after or, you know, support you or whatever it is. And so I've been doing it all myself. I feel very in touch with me and also in touch with my feelings right now in the moment and being more open with that, which I think is a good thing for me.
And doing Magic Mike. So that you would that was all going on just as you were getting divorced. So you were, and I've seen, I would recommend Googling you and YouTube because there's clips of you like in changing rooms with naked or half naked men walking past.
Yeah, I made a series of like vlogs while I was in Magic Mike behind the scenes, which people were quite interested in.
But the character, so you're like a host in it, right?
Yeah, I was basically like the only person who spoke in the show. So I like welcome the audience and, you know, take all everyone for the ride and then do a little dance at one point. But mainly the dancing is left
I
up
saw
to
there's clips of the dancing on YouTube as well. Yeah. There's gyrating. It looks, but you look awesome. Like to think that you were going through, the two things are quite opposite in that you are going through all this like pain and sadness and feeling lost, but you're out on stage doing this incredibly confident looking thing.
Yeah, I know. I get how it looks like that, but actually I wasn't in the pain and sadness place when I was doing that show. I was in the freedom.
Right, right.
I'm a sexual being that phase. So actually, and I don't know if that was influenced by also doing the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was funny because I was surrounded by very handsome and lovely professional dancers. And everyone was like, oh my God, you must be living your divorce dream. But it wasn't like I was shagging them all. Like I was just working with them. And they were lovely, but they were like all 10 years younger than me. So, you know, it wasn't that kind of environment. No. Like we were colleagues. because people would always be like, which one of you had sex with?
Yeah,
like,
all of them.
I work with them. None of them. Can you imagine the awkwardness?
What about Channing Tatum? So he's a really nice guy.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if I'd had sex with Channing Tatum.
Well, I'm going to
if I had, everyone would know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be the title of your podcast, wouldn't it? Yeah. I had sex with Channing Tatum.
I mean, it is funny. He was never on my list, but also then I got divorced. So it was like, if, you know, loads of people were like, did you get divorced just because your ex was worried that you were spending so much time with Channing Tatum? No, he's lovely and he's got a great sense of humour. He laughs at my jokes, so that makes me happy.
You like him?
Yeah, so it was just a really fun process. Like, I collaborated with him on the script to change it from the Vegas show to the London show.
Right. So,
yeah, that was a super fun process. And then he directed the show. And it's just a very generous, like, open director.
Mm.
So yeah, he's lovely. So it was a very fun process. But then, and also I got to kind of share that newfound freedom and kind of sexual feeling, because it was when I was having my sexual explosion. So outside of work, I was going on dates and all of that. So it was kind of a good time to be doing the show. I feel like now I'm calmer.
Mm.
I sort of look back at videos of me in the show and I'm like, I wonder if I could do that now with the same energy, or if it'd be more like, hey, how are you?
So is this a phase? Well, going on all of my friends who've gone through breakups and divorce, the sexual explosion phase / online hookup, all of it, that seems to be definite phase they go through.
Yeah, well, it was a phase for me, although I have spoken to some people who go the complete opposite way and like don't go on any dates and, you know, don't have sex and don't want to, you know, entertain the idea because they just want to focus on themselves. Whereas I think I was like, oh my God, I thought I was only going to have sex with one person for the rest of my life. And now that's not a thing anymore. So now I can have sex with other people. And oh my God, other people want to have sex with me and have expressed desire to do things to me. And that's exciting. So I think it was that newfound, like, you know, because you get used to having sex with the same person and you get into your routines of like,
well,
you know, how to do certain things quickly.
In the order of, yeah. I hear what you're saying. But also, if your relationship isn't working out, probably you're not having that much sex.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, I have an unlimited pot of sex that is coming
and
my way.
And I want to do it. Yeah.
And then... But, you know, for me, it's like one of my guests calls it the DFF, the divorced fuck frenzy, which I love.
Mm.
I just call it a sexual explosion. But I do think that comes to an end then. And then you go through a barren period where, like, I want you to imagine like tumbleweed is just rolling over my genital area. No, not a barren period, but you then go, okay, I've done that now.
I've done that.
And that was lovely. And now I'm going to probably stop for a bit or calm down or have a relationship or be by myself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Did you have friends that were worried about you? Because I'm thinking especially of a few friends that I've got where a mutual friend has then messaged to say, do you think we should worry about her? Like, is she potentially not completely safe, like meeting up with all these guys, but also is she going to feel bad about this in 3 months' time? Do we need to, you know, set up an intervention, or do we just let them go? And it's really because definitely the people I know have kind of gone pretty wild. But you don't want to be like that. Well, I'm married and very sensible, so I'm going to suggest that you don't be doing this.
Yeah, I would say don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
As a divorced person, having spoken to a lot of kind of divorce or people going through breakups, big ones, I would say do not be the friend that is like, do you really think you should do that? Because they're their own person and they've had someone else being that voice in their relationship, whether it was them or their other half, for so long that actually they probably need to go a bit wild. I think there definitely is a case of like, you can say, I want you to be safe, please be safe, and like, please look after yourself, and, you know, ring me if you ever need to, or, you know, text me when you get home. I think that's totally fine and caring as a friend. But I think some people can be really judgmental and be like, oh, it's the stereotype of the divorcee, or the like, you know, go out and mutton dressed as lamb, just really desperate, trying to have sex with everyone. And that's not what we're doing. We're just like letting loose. We're going back to our days before we were in that relationship and feeling free and us and just having a bit of a party. And yeah, it can get a bit wild, but as long as you're being safe. I think my friends didn't really worry about me. The only time someone was like, oh, are you okay, was when, you know, you drink too much on a night out. But yeah, I would say it's a bit like university, if you've been to university, or like, you know, being in a sports club and going away on a sports club holiday, you know, that sort of vibe. It's like you just go a bit wild for a period of time, and it's kind of a rite of passage. As long as you're safe, I think it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would say definitely don't make your friend feel judged, because they're going through a process and they need to do whatever's right for them. You know, some people don't go through a wild stage, first of all. Maybe they'll go through a wild stage like a few years down the line. So I think just support your friend in whatever they're going through. Just,
and you've talked about friends, how important they were and how brilliant they were. What did people do that was exactly what you needed at the different points?
Yeah, I think actually what's really important to mention is a lot of people are there at the beginning and then they sort of think, oh, they'll be over it now. And it's similar with grief, and I talk about it to do with my dad's death as well. People are very there at the beginning and like, oh, are you okay? And kind of, you know, there for you if you need anything. And then a year later, it's sort of like, oh, that's done now. But in your life, it's not done. You know, we worked it out. I'm 4 years in from separating. And I mean, I know I do talk about it regularly because I have a podcast about it, but like, it's still not done. Like, I still have, like, last week I felt really like lonely and really.
You posted
like
something actually on Instagram. And I thought that was really interesting that you'd said, I feel lonely. And like you say, it's a few years in, and this is when, that's when you might need people even more.
Yeah, exactly. And I you know, it's like anything, it comes in waves. Like, you know, I had a really sad time after my dad died, like 2 years later, where I just had a massive cry because I just missed him loads, like after 2 years. And I remember that moment and being a bit like, all right, well, no, this should be over now. Like, when's he going to come back? Like, the joke's over. Like, he's not dead anymore, is he? He needs to come back now. And I think it's like that with everything. So I think as friends, just being there, and I know it must be so boring listening to the divorce stories over and over again, but just try and listen and be there. Because there will be, if it's not immediately, there will be a time when your friend just wants to talk about their divorce and it feels like no one wants to listen, or it feels like you're boring people, but you're like, I just need to get it out. And obviously, you know, hopefully they're seeing a therapist or a counselor or a coach, you know, I did, which is so useful. But sometimes you just need to talk to your friend, like who knew the person, or to explain how you're feeling or why you might be being weird or distant. So yeah, I think the good things that friends can do is not judge you, be there for you, and just listen, even though they've heard it all before. And you don't, I would say, do not say, oh, I never liked them anyway. No, they were never any good for you. Because everyone wants to say that, or a lot of people do say that, because it feels like they're agreeing with you. Like, as the person saying that, you feel like, yeah, I'm on your side and I never liked them and you're too good for them. But actually what the person hearing that is feeling is that, right, so that person that I was with for 10 years, you never thought was good enough anyway. Number one, you didn't tell me. But number two, you're sort of criticizing my decision of picking that person and then staying with them for 10 years. So even though it feels like a supportive thing to say, it isn't. Please don't say it. So if we're allowed to slag our ex off, and you can be there and listen and be supportive, but you don't have to say, yeah, I know, they're awful, you know.
It's like family. You're allowed
to slag
off
children. No one's allowed to slag anyone else's children off, but you can only slag your own children off.
Yes.
But also, sometimes we don't want to talk about being divorced, and we don't want to be asked how our dating life is if we're single. You know, we just want to talk about random stuff. Mm. So, you know, it's not like we need to focus on it the whole time either.
No, I think the other thing is that if it's a friend going through it, sometimes you haven't realized how bad it was because they've been busy smoothing over the cracks and saying, oh no, it's wonderful. And then you've kind of got to go through it with them, I guess, while they're figuring out this, oh, he did this thing. I remember I'm obviously not divorced, but I had one particularly bad breakup where it got, the relationship was, like, I look back now and go, oh, that was really fucked up in lots of ways. I was trying to rescue him a bit. And I can remember saying to my friends at the end, when I knew this wasn't going to work, like, does your partner ever say to call you a name? Does your partner ever say this to you? And then we're just looking at me like, what? Like, completely horrified. And they'd really like this guy because he was fun, obviously less so towards the end. And it was a really, but they were so with me. Like, they were, no, and no one should ever call you that. And you are not those things. And then kind of like helped me to get through that. But they didn't know until I told them. And I think that happens a lot, doesn't it? Where, because you don't quite realize how bad your relationship is, or you're trying to cover it up, that it was fine, everything's fine. That then when you have to then say, actually, all these things happened, you do just need your friends to go, just to completely believe you and hear you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we do live in some ways that Instagram life of, oh, you look, everyone's like, oh, you look so happy together. You are such a good couple, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, the photos of us and like us at a fun event where we're all dressed up and having a lovely time with all of our friends, we probably do look really happy. But actually, you know, stuff happens behind closed doors. And yeah, I do remember my friends being a bit shocked. And just the one other thing I wanted to say as well, if your friend is going through, or if they're telling you that they're thinking about breaking up with someone, or they've just broken up with someone and they're breaking it to you, please don't second guess their decision. Please don't say, oh, but are you sure? Don't you think you should go to counselling? Don't you think you should work it out? Because the decision to leave or stay or whatever that big decision is huge. And it's not a split decision. They will have been thinking about it for a long time and they will have been umming and ahhing and thinking about all the possibilities. So you then saying, oh, don't you think you can work it out? Which people did say to me is like, don't you think I've done everything? I didn't just go, I'm going to get divorced today. Like, don't you think I've thought of everything? And we've tried all the different things. Otherwise, you know, it's the end. It's the true end of the road, the breakup or the divorce. And, you know, that person has thought it through. So just be there for them.
You've got men and women on the podcast, and it was Rosie Wilby said that 75% of divorces are initiated by women, which I thought was a fun fact, but really interesting, because I wondered how much the, I suppose, the change in women's expectations of what we can do and be, which have changed quite dramatically if you go like 50 years and even more so further back than that.
It's interesting because I think we're just sold that marriage is the dream, especially as girls growing up, that marriage is the dream. We should know what wedding dress we're having. We should have a wedding folder. You know, we should know where we want to get married. And also, I think there's a lot of pressure to do that, get married and have children. That's, you know, those are like your life goals. And it's very interesting. I think I wouldn't have said before I felt that pressure, but I definitely did. I thought, oh, I need to. Lots of people, including myself, were like, oh, I need to get married before I'm 30. Like, that was like a goal. Like, why? Now I'm like, why? And it's also the thing with children. You know, I speak to a lot of parents on the podcast, but I also speak to people that haven't had children during their marriages or during their, you know, long-term relationships. And it's interesting because, you know, for myself, I didn't have children as part of my marriage. And a lot of the parents I speak to, they're like, the one great thing from my marriage is that I got these children. And then they have these wonderful humans to show for, you know, all those years of time together. And I don't have that. And so I think in some ways I feel a little bit judged for not having children.
Mm.
I mean, I do have a cat as a legacy.
Yes, but who you love very much.
Yeah, called Queen Victoria.
So good. And what do you say to someone who feels like they've wasted time in a marriage? I know you've talked about that, if that marriage didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I think that's one of the hardest things, thinking, oh, I've just wasted those 10 years. And actually, I'm seeing I saw a counsellor originally, and now I'm seeing a sort of more like a life coachy type person. And my coach said to me recently, you were meant to be with your ex. Mm-hmm. You know, that marriage was meant to happen. And that was a real kind of turning point for me and a way for me to release a lot of stuff, because I had this thing in my head, you know, especially when I was in the marriage, of like, are we meant to be together? And this meant to be, and this like fated the one. And I don't know if I believed it in the one anymore, or like love conquers all. I've spoken about that on the podcast, that like Disney idea of, as long as you love each other, everything will be fine. Well, no, because I've heard of lots of marriages where people loved each other, but it wasn't enough for so many other reasons. But I think this idea that I didn't like listen to my gut, or I didn't like listen to fate or whatever, and we weren't actually meant to be together, really like upset me. Like, I got it wrong. Like, it was a mistake. And actually her saying, well, you were meant to be together, because that's got you to where you are now. And that's taught you so many lessons about relationships, and probably him about relationships. And, you know, it's all led to the human you are and to the future that you'll go on to. So you were meant to be together. And that was a big thing for me. And I think it helped me release a little bit of anger and shame around the whole mistake kind of failure side of divorce.
I think on the podcast you have people who are further down the line, and that's probably really reassuring for people who are still in that early bit and going through all of the emotions. Like Sarah Millican was your first guest, and she's like 16, 17 years later and married to someone else. And she can talk about it with a, she can talk about how awful it was, like really awful, but she can also talk, look back at it with like a lightness that's, I imagine, really reassuring.
Yeah, I think it's so nice talking to people on the podcast who are like years on and maybe now like happily in a new relationship, or like Sarah's happily married again. And that was great for me as well, especially episode one, because I was like, oh my God, it gives me hope that there's a future for me and that I'm just not going to be in this weird, horrific, amazing, free, awful time forever. Yeah. And Sarah's great. You know, she's actually given a lot of advice to a lot of people in comedy when they're going through kind of difficult divorces. And she's been great. And the advice that she gives on the podcast, her main bit of advice, which is amazing, is to change the name of your ex in your phone. So instead of it saying their name, say Adam, you change that to something silly that will make you laugh. Because during the whole difficult time, especially like financial proceedings or whatever, every time you get a message from them, you're like, oh God, there's a sinking feeling. And you're like, what is this going to be about now? What are we going to have to sort about now? Is this another argument? And actually, if it pops up with something silly that will make you laugh. So she changed her ex's number to name to the arse.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't done it when I spoke to her on the podcast. So yeah. I came up with the idea of fart orange, just because those that's the first thing that popped into my head. So I did actually change his name in my phone to fart orange.
I love it.
And it just meant when I got that notification, like, you've got a message from Fart Orange. It made it, you know, I had a little immature giggle instead of going, oh,
the dread.
God,
yeah. Yeah. I think, and what does your ex think about the podcast?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he listens to it. I know some people that know him have listened to it. But, you know, I told him that I was going to do it before I started it. And I said to him, there are certain things I won't talk about. And these are those things. Mm. Is that okay? And he sort of said, yeah, at the time. So, yeah, I don't know, really. We haven't discussed it. But obviously, I just speak about my experience. And it's almost not about the marriage. It's about the bit when they decided to break up onwards.
I suppose there's a lot of self-reflection from your guests. And I think that has a massive positive to it. And I think one of the things perhaps you get across that divorce teaches you, probably in quite a brutal way, is that the capabilities that people have to get through that. But also, even from a practical side, like you talk about your pink renaissance and you have a conversation with Jackie Smith about being able to put up a picture, or if you can't, getting someone else to put up a picture. And there's a real, it's a really lovely positive part of it that you feared, but then you realized that you could do these things.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you do break up with someone, sometimes that idea of what am I going to do now? Like, how am I going to not survive, but like get on every day without them? Because, you know, you may have lived with them for 10 plus years. And actually, that period of recovery, when you're dealing with all the emotion, but also you're just like maybe living on your own for the first time or doing those things like putting a nail in the wall and putting a picture up. And I put an IKEA shelf up by myself and I had to drill really big holes and I felt so proud. And I talk about early on as well, the first time I mowed the lawn, because
God, I've never mowed a lawn.
No, I've always like lived in flats or whatever. Yeah. And obviously when I was at home, well, not obviously, but when I was at home, my dad would mow the lawn. And then when I moved into the house I'm in now, which I now live in on my own, you know, there's a garden, but he used to mow the lawn because that was something he enjoyed. So the first time I was so like scared and like, oh my God, I can't do this. And it sounds silly, but you hit these little hurdles. Mm. And then I did it and I was like, oh my God, it's hoovering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I know as a woman saying hoovering is like, oh, I'm not saying that women hoovering because actually my ex was very, very clean. So he probably did more cleaning than me. But it is just hoovering grass, essentially. Mm. Like, obviously, if you want to get lines in it, you have to do it in a fancy way. But that was such a revelation for me. I was like, oh my God, of course I can do it. Like, yeah. It's very straightforward. And so you get these like little wins, which are actually really lovely. Although there are some things that you need to get someone else to do. Like, I think I spoke to Kerry Howard and she was trying to put up like a huge piece of furniture on her own and she couldn't physically lift it. And I'm like, yeah, there is a point. You also get to the stage where you're like, I can do everything on my own. And then you realize I'm allowed to ask for help with this.
Like,
I don't have to do every single thing.
Yeah.
But what I love about the podcast is, yeah, it is about divorce and people think, oh God, that's going to be a heavy podcast. But actually everyone I speak to is so much happier now.
Mm.
And I think that's such an amazing thing to kind of take from it is everyone's kind of gone through that process of finding themselves and putting up a shelf and mowing the lawn.
Mm.
And now they're kind of happy in themselves and who they are.
Mm. I think if 41% of marriages end in divorce, and it, historically that's been kind of loaded with shame and sadness, and there's very little talk of coming out the other side. So I think the narrative that you're creating with the podcast, and you've got, you know, people like Helen Thorne with her Get Divorced, Be Happy, and this idea, it is shifting, which I think is pretty critical if there are 41% of a lot of the adults basically walking around otherwise feeling like they're meant to not feel any happiness or kind of relief or any of those things.
Yeah, it's like we're ignoring like a whole group of people that are going through something incredibly hard.
Mm.
And, you know, as a divorced person, I feel like I felt like I should just brush it under the carpet and not mention it to anyone and just deal with it on my own. And I think it's so important to kind of have a community and have support there and share it. And we have a little chat group actually via my Patreon, where we all just talk about, you know, everyone who listens to the podcast joins and we all just talk about when we're having a difficult divorce time, or we like swap stories, or how did you deal with this? And even just having that is just so nice. And I wish I had that when I first got divorced, because I felt so alone and like there was no one I could talk to.
Mm. No, well, that you're doing it. You've created it. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. It's brilliant talking to you, and also just refreshing, I would say, to think of it slightly differently.
Oh, good. Well, if you ever get divorced, you know where I am.
I'm there.
everyone's welcome.
Thank you so much for listening. I also wanted to mention that Sam has two books written for children, which my 9-year-old is currently really enjoying. Both of them have a deaf protagonist, and Sam herself wears a hearing aid. So check those out. I'll include links in the episode notes. And thank you to Love Honey for sponsoring this episode. And I also wanted to say thank you to everyone who's DM'd or emailed about the episode with Stacey Heal. Stacey was talking about cancer and grief 4 months after her husband Greg died. And although on paper it could seem that was going to be a really depressing episode, Stacey has this energy that isn't at all, and I suppose an outlook. And even though she's going through something completely awful, it's somehow uplifting, and she's remarkable, really. So loads of messages about how brilliant she was, which I have made sure I've passed on. So I think it's really helpful for her to know that how helpful she is being to other people. And one review on the podcast from Trudy AM said, amazing podcast about grief, one of the most powerful I've listened to, which is awesome. And again, I'm passing those on. So thank you. Please do leave a review and rating if you're enjoying the podcast. And you can DM me on Instagram, or you can email me podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com. And I hope that whatever you're doing today that involves something for you, maybe it's a nap, maybe it's a hot cup of tea, maybe it's dancing on a table, whatever
floats your boat. But thank you, and I hope that you have a good week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.